Today on the show, we've got a lot of news to catch up on. This is Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 399 of Traveling with the Mouse. Yeah. We're almost to 400.
Such a milestone.
Disney's only at 100, so years.
Yeah, we're way ahead of them.
Yeah. 400 years. You said we're going to be here 15 years. Anyway, inside joke. So, how's everybody? Oh, I haven't introduced you yet. I'm Adam. I'm hosting this episode, and I am joined, as always, by John.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us.
Yeah.
And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, the dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be.
What a great show. That's a good intro. Anyway.
You recognized it.
Yes.
Well, I figured I had to leave off the first part or else it would have been a giveaway. But
yes. Well, Jason obviously knows this as well. He's joining us as well.
Hello.
Yeah.
Have you had your happily ever after today?
I have now that we're all together again.
Exactly. No, I haven't had my happily ever after in quite some time.
Almost.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next part of the show.
That's because I haven't seen Happily Ever After in person in quite some time.
Yes.
What were you thinking?
I have no idea.
Good Lord.
Happy thoughts. I was thinking happy thoughts. So, yes, Happily Ever After is back. Jason saw it like 4 days in a row.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
You didn't get sick of it after 4 days?
No, I could have gone another four.
He watched it 20. From every angle, too.
Yeah.
Basically.
He just went and got to see how many different ways he can see Happily Ever After.
Which
is the best of the ones you did?
The first night from the hub.
From the hub?
Well, you watched from the hub and then from like the back of Main Street and then from
Narcoossee's. So night one was the hub. Night two was Narcoossee's. Night three was California Grill. Night four was
Back of Main Street.
It just kind of seems like adding the Main Street projections was kind of, I don't want to say it, in a way, yes, it was an afterthought to add them to it because they had to use something existing but I guess using the technology that's available is not a bad thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, seeing those up close, like when I saw it was the end of Main Street, they're kind of
It's just like an extension of what you're seeing, though, right?
It's not as impressive as what's on the castle by any means. It's nowhere near, and it's okay. It adds to it to some degree, but...
Well, I think the difference between that and Enchantment was Enchantment, that the show was designed with that in mind versus adding it later.
Sure.
You know, so...
Yeah. But I would much rather have this Happily Ever After. It's such a great show, and lots of emotions. Great show.
Yep.
Enchantment did not do that for me, so...
Not at all.
So, that's back. We may cover more of that during the rest of the show when we talk about trip. I don't know how we're going to...
My forever trip report?
Yeah.
How long are we going to go tonight? Like 5 hours?
I think this will be a two-parter, potentially.
It's like you've heard of Epcot forever. This is Jason forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, first, though, we're going to catch up on some news because a lot of news has happened in the last couple weeks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Never heard a thing.
Right.
I thought all has been quiet.
Radio. Very quiet. So we'll throw out a few. One that, this is a quick one. Well, we can linger on this if you like, but Genie Plus hit $35 during spring break.
I could linger on that because I paid it a lot.
Yeah.
Do you have a grand total of what you spent Genie Plus wise?
No, I don't. I didn't pay attention. I just kept spending.
It was $140 for my party of four per day that we bought it. So, that price point I thought was ridiculous. I expected the $29, which was the previous high, but I think it was April 3rd was the first day, and it was just like, we're going to make it 35. Like, there was no...
And it sold out.
Yeah, it sold out at least 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row during that
week. Just because people were there and they were going to use it, they weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
They felt like they needed to use it in order to do what they wanted to do during spring break, especially.
Right. I mean, if you want to ride rides, you're going to have to
work it over. It's not like Disney would not ever take advantage of the parks being busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but this is weird. Like Christmas, New Year's, like 29 is what it was, but all of a sudden, spring break, now they decide 35 is the new high.
Well, whatever. Apparently, after spring break was over, things dropped immediately, just based on what I've seen.
Well, yep. This week, yeah, it was 25 today as we're recording this.
Well, it's not just the price. I mean, like, everything dropped immediately.
The crowds, yeah. The crowds have dropped significantly.
Yeah. Post-spring break, though, is actually a pretty good time to go, just because,
yeah.
Well, we have, you know, one of our friends at Parkeology, they did a challenge right after spring break day because it was the perfect combination. Yeah, the oxygen-free challenge.
Was after.
Because it was the perfect combination of hours and low crowds because it was at the tail end of spring break. So
yeah. I would say late April is probably just as good as September.
No, it's probably better than September is now because people are always... They claim a lot of places like Tarumpans claim that they're not big enough to make a difference, but I think they are now at this point. They make a difference.
Yeah. So yeah, crowds were. I mean, again, crowds were busy when I was there, but I Christmas Day and New Year's Day when I was there didn't seem more or less than that to me. So it was not hard to get around. I mean, but still, it was definitely busy, but. We didn't really have trouble getting anything that we wanted.
Two things that there is no longer at Disney World. There is no such thing as a slow time, and there is no such thing as spontaneity.
Well, I think we kind of did. I mean, we got a Le Cellier pretty spontaneously and ate there. And
Le Cellier is not as popular as it once was.
Well, it's still hard to find. But
yeah, we saw stuff drop.
I think Le Cellier also, too, was a combination of popularity and size, because it's not very
big. But also, same day, when they did the same day 2-hour cancellation instead of 24-hour notice, tons of stuff shows up same day now.
Mm-hmm.
So it does open up some spontaneity if you want.
Because people are like, we can't keep our dining reservation because we have a Genie Plus or Lightning Lane right now.
Or Rise broke down again or something. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. But still, I was
so you have that factor, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Woody's Roundup Rodeo Barbecue, Jason did it twice, once with me,
A
lot of food. Good, though. I liked it. So I think I'll have maybe a blog review of that up too.
Soon. Awesome. So as far as barbecue goes, is it better than say Regal Eagle or
Choice? That brisket was the best brisket I've had on Disney property for sure. That was delicious.
I like Regal Eagle better from a barbecue standpoint.
Okay.
Well, I would say the ribs were lackluster at Woody's, but other than that. I liked everything.
So, Jason, I mean, we're kind of mixing this trip together. Yeah. But that's fine. We're mixing news and trip together, but...
We'll get to it.
I got to ask, having done it twice, did you get to do just about everything they had, or was there a couple things you didn't get?
There was a couple of things I didn't get, but I feel like I experienced enough of the side choices to really understand what was good.
We may go more in-depth on this a little later. I just wanted... I don't know, actually, how did... Oh, it came up because... We were talking about spontaneity. But the story was about Genie Plus going way up. And I mean, what do we think? It's probably going to hit a new high holiday season.
It'll be 50.
I think at some point it's going to hit 50.
I disagree. Bob Iger said that he is going to make family more affordable for families. That was his words.
Yeah.
So.
As long as
it's going to hit 50.
Stick to that. Said he sarcastically.
Right, yeah. It's certainly on track to hit 50 by Christmas, New Year's, I would say. But anyway, I certainly haven't seen 15 since they changed it. It may have been one day since they did the alternate pricing or whatever.
You haven't seen 15 since Bob Iger's been back. So, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Just throwing crap out there.
I think the lowest I've seen is maybe 18 a day, but that was a long time ago. So
anyway.
All right, moving on. There's obviously the big story that we need to talk about, this ever-changing, this whole Reedy Creek Improvement District /
Central
Florida Tourism Oversight District.
Yep.
So, I mean, we haven't talked about it since Disney's kind of chess move, that when it was revealed that they had done some last minute, what do you want to call it, preparations.
It was
to,
a contract.
Yeah.
Their lawyers made a move.
Getting into Disney. Yeah, they made a move to fortify their control of the board, I should say, probably. Better way of saying it.
Well, I mean, they gave themselves the authority to...
they tried to put up a roadblock.
Well, basically, they allowed them to build another theme park, another two minor theme parks.
Yeah.
They said that Disney would maintain the same level of construction quality and standards. Whatever would be built by the new board has to get approval from Disney. Essentially, it's the same as forever. And you know, everybody latched on to the fact that they said the perpetuity clause that said it was going to go into the last living descendants of King Charles III.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty like a snub in the face almost.
Yeah. That was really cool news. And of course, the Disney community was like loving that because, so we should, a lot has happened since then, but I do want to say at least to that point that we kind of thought like Disney's awfully quiet about this. So they must, they either had done something or they're just waiting this out to like take it to court at some point just to like see what they're going to do and then do this or. But it turns out they had thought about this way before, of course, and they had made some moves. But now, of course, since then, you know, governor's not very happy about probably the public shaming, not shaming. What would be the best?
It's basically shaming.
Egg on his face, whatever you want to call it.
Because he looks like an idiot.
I don't think he cares about that at all, actually. I think this is, interestingly enough, it's a local version of what our government does on a national level. They put up a smokescreen while they really do something else. So I think that's part of what this is.
DeSantis is running for president.
Yeah.
He's running for president.
I know, but I'm just talking about his other legislation that he's managed to put, while this is in the forefront.
He's also put some other ridiculous legislation in, but all of his legislation is culture war stuff because that's the only thing he knows. I mean, the man has no actual real fiscal policy of any kind. He's running entirely on the fact that he reopened Florida, that he is fighting with Disney, that he's against gay people, that he's against trans people. Essentially, he is trying to be Trump, but trying to seem a little less crazy. But at the end of the day, he was outmatched, outclassed, and he looks like an idiot. So, good on Disney.
But, of course, he's going to keep swinging. And so, you know, he threatened to put tolls, raise the hotel tax.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But, again, it's like, how is this? This is very blatantly, like, I'm going after Disney specifically. I'm retaliating against you.
Well, he did all this and then released in his book, and then he's campaigning on the fact that he's the tough guy coming down on Disney because Disney was pro-gay people. And so at the end of the day, it basically just took away the wind out of his sails. Like, he's going to lose any debate from here on out with any of his Republican challengers. They're just going to be like, remember that time you lost to Disney because you suck? Right. And so he's done.
He's trying to save face by saying, you know, oh, we're going to do this. So the latest, that kind of gets us to the latest, is as this week, I believe it's the 19th, so as you're listening to this, the latest is they're attempting, the new board is attempting this, what was it,
Superior Authority,
that's the one. So they're going to try to overstep whatever Disney did by claiming superior authority. I don't know how they're going to, I don't know how that's going to work, but
I've read a couple of things where people are like, that probably won't work. Oh,
yeah.
He's trying to get it nullified, but the thing is that they did it in public. They did it in, you know, they followed the sunshine laws. Right. And as what it said, they, you know, they even put that in their press release. They said, we followed every letter of the law.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that Disney's lawyers are better than DeSantis's. So, yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's
probably get paid more.
Yeah. So I think they know what they're up against. But I think it sounds like, to me, Disney's strategy also is, let's stretch this out because all we have to do is outlast him because he has a personal crusade against Disney at this point.
I don't know. I think with what Bob Iger said recently about the he would love to meet face-to-face, I think that's genuine.
Right.
And I really do think that's genuine.
But here's the thing, too. Why would he say this in an interview? He said this with the Time magazine interview, as he's listed as one of the most influential.
Probably because he figures it would get more attention that way. I mean,
yeah. Rather than, I'm sure he could call him because Chapek called him.
But it's kind of like a chess move in a way. He says it in a public forum because it's like it's your move now. I mean, I'll talk to you. Every last bit of this is politics and. Bob Iger knows how to do that just as well as DeSantis does. So
he knows how to do it better, honestly.
Yeah, Iger's always been good at politician.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that I was thinking about when I talk about all this is like, yeah, you know, Florida wouldn't be what it is today without Disney. That's no question. You know, and that's why they handed over Disney whatever they wanted back in 1967 because they knew how big of an impact it would be. But now, Florida is what it is, and so Disney, what are they going to do? They can't leave.
So, locals actually are not really fond of tourists. I happen to know that for a fact.
Right, so. Of course. Well, who would be? I mean, but at the same time, that's what made the state what it is. A lot of these people who live there now wouldn't be there if it weren't for Disney either. The opportunities that came.
Yeah. Well, it did help a lot of the people that don't have to pay property taxes in certain areas because of tourism.
Right. Or income tax?
Yeah.
Right.
To pay state income tax there. In.
Right. So there's a lot of opportunities that Disney basically gave the state back then.
They were there before any of the other entertainment venues that are there. So they kind of...
They
set the stage,
showed up
like everybody
Disney.
There.
Right. Yeah. Nothing would have happened.
I don't know if I would want to go that far, but I mean, it definitely jump started it. Somebody was going to take that prime real estate and turn it into something, but
well,
Disney
it wouldn't
just
be what
to
it
be
is
first.
Today, is my point. And so, but
I could make the argument that it didn't have to be Disney to make it happen. It was going to eventually happen, but I get what you're saying.
I think we all would agree, though, that wherever Disney decided to build, if it was. Not in Florida, where whatever
I mean,
area
already,
that was.
We already know from the story he already had to sneak around to get the land. So
yeah, but if he had built somewhere else, that area would have been much more prosperous than Orlando today.
Well, this reasonings were climate. You know, you're not going to have to worry about it being too cold.
Yeah,
anyway. You have to worry about it raining. Other than that, but.
But my point is, what is the purpose of, you know, winning this cultural war battle in the long run? It is not, there's no benefit. So
he's
obviously.
He's not thinking about the long run. He's just supposed to be president.
Exactly. So again, I think that's what Disney's doing is like, let's outlast him and we'll get back whatever once he's gone. We'll get back our. Previous status or whatever, you know, is he going to run soon? Because I think that's the other thing is he would have to resign just from running is that's what I'm, the way I understand it currently.
I know we discussed that, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think that's the current law is he would have to resign his position just to run. So anyway. Any more on this? There's so many different back and forths that have happened, and
I mean, I just think it's idiotic that he's threatening to toll the roads, and hurt the guests as a retaliatory move.
The roads have tolls. You're talking about increase the tolls?
Well, no, he's saying he's going to put them on Disney property.
Oh,
that's what they have the
Wouldn't that also hurt cast members who don't get paid enough as it is currently? Because wouldn't they have to drive through the same roads, I mean, to get to work? In theory, I mean, I'm assuming assuming they put a giant toll booth in front of the Mickey welcome sign on World Drive. Yeah,
he's just going
to He does seem to have taken it personally, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Well, he kind of staked his whole tough guy, macho man attitude off of all of this.
Right. So he's going to keep that, you know, image going of that he stuck it to him. It's like, why you're shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to the financial future of the state.
Maybe.
Because as Iger said, now here's another interesting question, because Iger said on this call recently, the yearly shareholder meeting, they've planned $17 billion of investment in Florida or Walt Disney World in the next 10 years, I think it was. So do you think Iger's just saying that as a talking point to say, you know, for leverage? Or do you think they've really earmarked $17 million?
I listened to Disney Dish, and they sort of estimated that they think that Disney World, they don't have exact numbers, probably did about $10 or $11 billion in the last 10 years. So honestly,
I mean, that's a lot.
With inflation, it's not that much more.
But I mean, that last 10 years included Pandora and, you know, Galaxy's Edge, that was a $2 billion investment right there.
Which all of those went through exactly as planned. They had every last detail.
They still spent like $2 billion on.
Yeah, those Galaxy's went back Edge exactly up. As they said they would be.
But still, they spent a lot to get those.
That took 5 years.
Toy Story Land. That was in the last decade.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe they truly have this much capital. I don't know. I'd be leaning more toward the Disney company potentially being broken up in the next decade than I do development. But
you don't think they have $17
billion? They do.
I don't think we have everything that they have bought in the past paid for. I don't think they're releasing all that. I mean, like with your Lucasfilm and your Marvel and everything, I don't think they're in as good a position as it looks like. That's just my personal thoughts, but I mean, we'll see. I just find it hard to believe that all of that is already paid for.
Well, they don't have to have it all paid for.
Yeah.
As of December 2022, which is just what I looked up quickly, they had $8.5 billion cash on hand.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
Looks like their market cap is $182 billion.
Yeah. But, I mean, cash on hand, they have their cash flow, they have, you know.
They're still making a profit every month anyway, so. $17 billion, does that include expanding the parks?
He's running out of expanding the existing, let's put it that way.
Right.
He's running out of room.
We know they talked about Magic Kingdom, which there's lots of rumors about that, if you want to shift to talking about that one.
That'll take forever.
But there are a couple of people who have talked about this, not just one that we've looked at, but a couple of people have mentioned, you know, the Beyond Big Thunder, the blue sky concept art from D23, but also what would that mean, you know, with Tiana's coming into, and we also mentioned Pecos Bills could turn into the, you know, Tiana's place, palace, whatever that might end up being. And then that would beg the question, would they change Frontierland at Walt Disney World to more match what California already has, New Orleans Square, which it fits perfectly, kind of extending New Orleans Square to Splash Mountain, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, when it opens there. So would they do that in Florida at Magic Kingdom? It's plausible. Like, it makes sense that you could turn most of Frontierland into a New Orleans Square type area. You would really just have to change the facades of the buildings to look more New Orleans, and that's it.
You mean those aren't legitimate like old Western type taverns and shops and stuff?
Right, exactly. No, but I guess the only question would be Country Beer Jamboree. What would you do with it? Is it still okay to leave it that? I mean, like, kind of could be okay to leave it as is.
the theory of one of the people who broke this, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
Yeah, that they would change the show. I still don't think they're going to do that. I don't know. Maybe
if they're going to change the show, they're going to just going to change it, period. They would be shooting themselves in the foot if they change the existing show with the existing characters. Because right. People are not going to accept the same characters in a different setting. We've already seen that, especially in Florida, because when they did the vacation show, that was not very well received. Yeah. That's why they went back to the original show.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work. If you're going to change it, you're going to have to change it.
Right, yeah. And no more country bears. It'll have to right. be
they
whatever else.
Get rid of it and do like a Preservation Hall type thing from New Orleans with the jazz music. That'd be pretty cool. You ever been to Preservation Hall?
It's gonna be met with controversy no matter what, because this is potentially talking about eliminating Frontierland, which is still, you know, the discussion will go back to original and Walt, and this has never been done thus far to totally get rid of a land. Yes, all that. It'll be mired in controversy one way or the other.
The weird thing is you could kind of keep part of Frontierland.
That's the weird part about that is he's talking about keeping Tom Sawyer's Island and the one that we were watching, I assume.
Right.
And Big Thunder about. That goes into...
Yeah, Big Thunder's a given, though.
It goes into Coco and Encanto Land.
That's kind of a little weird. It could fit, though, the way you laid
it
out.
It's more like a desert land. You would go under the train station and enter the Encanto area behind...
Well, Big Thunder's Big not Thunder. Going anywhere. That's obvious. Just to how do you make it work, but... The leaving Tom Sawyer without there being a frontier land is the puzzling part to me, but whatever.
Well, they could also leave Frontierland with just the rafts and Country Bear Jamboree and then have a New Orleans Square area and then a western land or a desert land, whatever you want to call it.
I really don't even care at this point because they're going to have to show me some indication that they give a crap about theming once again, just based on all the other stuff that they've done recently that don't fit. So they're going to have to do it well in the first place before I even going to even bother talk about it. So
the thing with Disneyland's, as we said, Crater Country can just go away and extend.
Yeah, they essentially made that land. Yeah, they made that land for Splash Mountain.
For Splash, right. And so now, but... Disney World, it's like it's right in the middle between Big Thunder and Country Bear Jamboree.
It was specifically themed to Frontierland to go there.
Yeah.
Music and all. Actually a better version than Disneyland.
Right. So it'll be interesting how it's kind of in the middle. It sort of bisects the land, so you either have a fragmented Frontierland or you have a New Orleans Square. And then you can't really do a Frontierland with only Big Thunder, right? I would think.
And then, of course, the never-ending project called the Villains-themed land.
Right.
It's always been
That's supposed to loop around from Encanto Land and then come back around to...
Towards Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
Which
the Haunted Mansion
sense.
Part makes sense because it's kind of a gateway to Villains, right?
Right. That would be a really good way to do that. And then you could create a loop... So you don't have two dead ends, which would be nice. And I'm assuming, they were talking about cutting off some of the Rivers of America, like...
That's going to take a lot. I don't think what some people realize with these plans, that's going to take a lot of money just to stabilize that land.
It's going to take a lot of time to do that too, though.
But you get what I'm saying, but it's just because of what that land is currently, like with the waterway, for instance.
Yeah.
Because some of that, it was cutting into the waterway. Are you going to eliminate things like the riverboat? Is it no longer going to, I guess it's not going to go all the way around anymore if you're going to put the Villains Land over there?
You could shorten it, though, like they did in Disneyland.
Well,
shorten it.
I guess you could.
And then drain some of it.
It's not exactly a long ride as it is. I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
What, 17 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
Jason probably remembers.
We can just shorten stuff until it's eventually. I mean, that's what they do with the Speedway, right? They just keep shortening it till eventually you're gonna have like a circle.
They shortened Disneyland's, but they made it so much better.
What?
The theming of the Rivers of America.
Oh, Rivers of America. Oh,
but also you have the train, which just reopened, and looks like it's gonna have a lot more downtime again if they have to move. things either go over it or under it again? Like, how are you going to do that?
I think with a New Orleans theme in that little section right there, they should bring the keelboats back because that's where Mike Fink was headed. So,
yeah, sell them furs. That's what he's trying to do.
They anyway. Should bring the Gully Wumper back.
Yeah. So, that's cool. I mean, a lot to maybe look forward to there or think about. But
I was going to say one thing about that. How could this potentially impact the rafts, Jason? Would that bother you?
I mean, if they get rid of the rafts, then they'll no longer be a ride. But until then, they're a ride.
Okay. Yeah, well, so a lot, I've heard people say, too, they should convert Tom Sawyer Island into something like an... But then it's like...
You remember there was a rumor a long time ago whenever Lost was still popular that they were going to convert Tom Sawyer's Island to Lost, like the island Lost.
Well, they could make it come... You could get there from the villain's land, and it could be the place in Descendants where the villain's kids live.
I was actually just thinking that when you said that.
The villain's kids, the VKs. They would
totally do that.
Yeah.
That sounds likely that they could actually do that.
That sounds like something that they would do, good or bad. It just sounds like something Disney would do.
Wow.
But you have to go over in a purple limousine or something like that, not a raft.
Oh. It would give them another way to do IP.
Yeah. All right. But speaking of, here's a few other Splash Mountain notes. The tree stump has been removed as part of the construction at Magic Kingdom.
It is?
And May 31st is going to be the final day of operation for Splash Mountain out at Disney. Well, sorry, May 30th is the final day of operation at Disneyland.
Isn't that kind of weird that they would cut it off right before Memorial Day crowds?
I know, isn't it? So is Memorial Day...
Or is that
Day
right after?
Let me think.
Maybe it's right... Maybe it is right after this year.
Memorial Day is the 29th.
Yeah, so it's right after this time.
So,
okay.
Like, basically that...
That makes more sense.
Gives people a chance to get there if you're making Memorial Day plans, I guess, if you want to...
If you want to ride the inferior version, even though it's the original.
Yeah. Wish I brought a book.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else there? I think that's it.
You forgot the biggest story of all when it comes to Disney stories.
Well, I haven't
gotten one yet. The Garden Grill Breakfast is returning.
Yes, that was a big one. Garden Grill Breakfast is coming back. When again?
Like the best character breakfast on property is back. June 14th.
June 14th, yeah. June. Okay. So, yeah, actually, we'll be there that week, won't we, Jason?
Not the next week.
Okay, close enough.
It'll be open by then, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, we'll have to make a breakfast there.
That sounds good.
I always like that breakfast,
It's because it has a decent breakfast food, especially the sticky bun. I assume that's going to return. And you have the best combination of characters because you have Chip and Dale, so you're going to be entertained.
Chip and Dale, great. Yeah.
And you get to see at least a little bit of Living with the Land while you're eating. I mean, what's not to like?
As long as you don't get motion sick just from...
from like point... From
1 second. 0.001 mile per hour. Yeah.
I don't know.
It could happen.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was another story like that. Speaking of Epcot, my son is excited about this. There's a new Skyliner popcorn bucket.
This one
is a blue one with Guardians of the Galaxy characters on it. So, he wants
that
one.
How much is that going to run you?
Probably, $30?
$20?
$30. Wow. Yeah, probably. But hey, refills are $2.25.
For there you go.
Get your money's worth that way.
You did get a popcorn bucket while we were there.
Yeah, we got that pass holder bucket, which... They weren't, wasn't that exciting for
them. But, I mean, being a pass holder is exciting.
Yeah. Oh, is that what your segue was into they're selling annual passes again?
They are. Congratulations to all of you who are able to get some annual passes. They sold Magic Keys a couple of weeks ago. Now, as of this recording,
they crashed.
DVC members are already getting their Sorcerer's Passes. And... They're going to go on sale on the 20th with Incredipass. Yeah.
What day is it? So, this week. So, just be ready to wait a long time if you're trying to do it on the 20th.
I'd like to point out that the annual pass sales are going on sale the same day as 420.
Oh.
Just saying.
Maybe, yeah, maybe you should do one thing first, and then you'll not care about spending money.
I think
for
that maybe that's what the, is it coincidence? I don't know.
Could be. When is Earth Day?
Maybe
is
it's because you have to be high to buy the pass.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I think they'll sell out pretty quick. Although they said they're going to keep Sorcerer's Passes probably more available, is what I've heard, for the DVC folks.
Did you say sell out? So they're still limiting it?
Oh, yeah. They're still going to limit it.
This is just like, the, you know what this is? This is the Disney Vault strategy they did like 30 years ago or whatever. Like, oh, yeah. This is never going to be on sale again. It's never coming back until next year.
Right. But I mean, and I hate to say this, but it is a really good value when you think about it. Like,
depends.
If you go to a sporting event, you spend $100 a ticket. Or in most cases, it's going to cost you that for a pro game. Get good seats, something like that. $100, let's say. So for Family of Four, it's $400 for 2 hours of entertainment. And Disney, you get a whole day. And you get access to everything they have in whatever park you go to. I mean, it's still a pretty good value. Just saying, it really is. The annual pass to me is.
Yeah. Especially when you're like me and I have the Sorcerer Pass.
Right, yeah. Which, as an out-of-state person, you can actually get. Yeah. But still, as some, you know, I have to buy, I have only one choice, so I can't. That's my only option. But it's still a good value as long as you go enough to pay for itself, essentially.
There you go.
I mean, you have to go, what, 8-9 days to make it worth it?
Again, it depends.
A year. I think I easily do more than that, so.
I mean, I just did 9 days.
Yeah.
In a row.
Right.
Well, that, given your pass, yeah, you've more than paid for it.
Right. But, I mean, think about what you get for that money. I mean, we complain about prices and all this stuff, but... And again, yes, I don't want to wait 2 hours in line for stuff, so I'd have to fork over more money for Genie Plus or whatever, but
I mean, still. I saw walking into the parks one day that if you bought a one-day ticket with park hoppers in the middle of spring break, it was going to be $230 a person.
Yeah.
For one day.
However, right. If you're going once a year, still,
I don't know.
Wait, what do you mean you don't know?
I'm just saying, if you go one day a year.
It's like I said about the annual pass earlier when I said to you, is that are you going because you have the annual pass, or are you going to go anyway, and this is why you bought the annual pass?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, I think it's part of both. It's a little bit of both. It makes it a much more affordable trip, and we're going to do something to entertain ourselves or the kids. And yeah. I think Adam's point is he gets a lot of entertainment for his family.
Yeah.
And he can go as much as he wants, even though it's very expensive. Once you've made that first investment, it's honestly a more affordable vacation once you've bought the tickets.
Yeah, right. Subsequent vacations are...
Right.
You know, if you go 2-3 times a year...
Yep.
Maybe 4 or 5. But yeah, I mean...
I've been known to go monthly.
Yeah. It's nice.
And now for a quick commercial break.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle. No kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
And now, back to the show.
Other stuff Tron opened since we last had an episode.
Yep.
And Jason, you've done it like 5 times now or something, four times. You got to ride it by yourself, that was one.
Yeah, well, by my lonesome.
Nobody else.
Yep, I was the only one on the train.
Nice. My 5-year-old got to do it.
Yep, barely tall enough, but he did it.
Yep. By the hair on the top of his head, he made it on. Liked it. But yeah, I mean, so after doing Tron again, I would say I like it better than I first probably led, you know, my first initial thought. But I still think Guardians is a superior coaster.
Guardians is better. Tron is awesome, too. The launch is just...
The launch is nuts, man. It's...
Yeah.
It's not as, like, immediately fast as, like, Rockin' to me.
Yeah.
But it's, like, gradually, and then all of a sudden it's, like, you know, really fast.
Yep.
It's a more gradual launch. And that outdoor section is definitely my favorite. It is so much fun. It's really cool, especially to see all the people below you and, you know, everyone's like waving at you and stuff. And then the indoor parts are pretty good too. They're just, it's short. I mean, it's once you get inside, it's like, okay, a couple of turns and drops and stuff, and that's about it. It's over. But it's still fun.
Yep.
Very fun. Any other, let's see. Oh, the thing about Tron though lately is the board, since the crowds are low, the boarding groups have been available longer.
Yep.
So, there were still some available at park hopping time recently. So that was one of the things. Take advantage of the low crowds right now. We waited quite a while in that.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get to that virtual queue line, it's not short.
Yeah.
We
waited 40 minutes, maybe? 30, 40 minutes? I forgot.
Yeah, at least you didn't have to pay for it.
I guess.
Do you think paying for the individual lightning lane would have been a shorter wait?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Much shorter.
Well, that's what I would hope so. That's just what I was getting at.
But here's a question. Is it worth, what, $20 or $25? I don't know what they were charging for it.
I question if any rides are worth it, but truthfully. So
yeah,
I think if it's your only day there, of course it's worth it.
But, yeah. Yeah, if you want to do it and not wait, I mean it's worth it.
It was when I was touring around my friend from work, that was the longest wait they did was for Tron, and I felt bad because it's like I wish I'd have gotten in the Lightning Lane because they would have gotten to do a little bit more.
Yeah. So. Right. If it's your only day there, and it's probably worth it. I mean, if you can swing it, just do it. Because, yeah, we waited a long time. That was the longest line we waited in the whole time I was there. Was Tron.
So is it, I guess, in person, is the when they first expose, like, you're entering the grid sort of, is that pretty cool as it looks?
Yeah.
Like when they first
cool
show
effect.
You?
It's a very cool effect.
Cool effect.
But after that, it was like, that was the bulk of our wait. Just waiting in that one room. Before the lockers, yeah. It was ridiculous. Whereas Guardians, we did boarding group, and, I mean, that line just moves. Guardians doesn't ever really slow down too much. Only when they're loading and unloading that, you know, the pre-shows, like, there's still some times where you'll stop, but not for long. Guardians, we waited, what, 20 minutes, maybe, in the 25?
Could it?
And that was
potentially... Could it potentially have to do with the fact that it's not as new anymore? I mean, it is coming up on a year.
I mean, it was a full queue. That queue was like we walked around, turned the corner, and we hit people.
And obviously, it doesn't look like they're ever going to allow standby for Guardians.
They should soon. I hope they do by summer, but we'll see.
Doesn't look like it. I mean,
I don't know why. I mean, okay, so here, speaking of Guardians, let me talk about this now while I'm thinking about it. Jason, when we wrote it, it's getting to the point now where a cast member had to tell people to, like, not just wander over to the right. He's like, there's room over here. Like, he's just, like, begging people to go over to the left. 'Cause
I was in there one time, and
it's getting bad.
People just pushed through the doors, not even watching the pre-show, and there was a VIP tour guide that yelled at them to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Wait for the doors to open.
Yeah, this effect is going to be ruined soon.
And it also makes me think, okay, well, is this also a design flaw that they, like, in the beginning, you know, people don't know, but now that people know, enough people...
Well, I mean, people, enough people know about the Haunted Mansion and they still don't crowd.
Well, I'd say it's a lot less people in the Haunted Mansion stretching room, but still, yeah. Some people do. I mean, like, I always try to wander over to where I know the door's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's not, that is a huge room, and everybody just floods over to the right. And even when they're doing the teleport part, people are just, like, pushed over as far as you can get. I just feel like at some point they're going to have to do something about that. I don't know what.
It's the ugly and negative side of the information age.
Yeah. Too many people know. But honestly, though, the reason... I mean, if you're in the back of that line, you're going to be waiting another 10 minutes, potentially.
Oh, no.
Just saying that that's... Nobody wants to do that. This is the... Nobody has the patience for that anymore.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody in that room is going to be last.
Yeah. But people are going to fight to not be last.
It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it is.
And like Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't first...
You're last. Heck, I was high when I said that. Yeah. You can be second. You can be third. Heck, you can even be fourth.
See? There you go.
I mean, obviously I'm guilty of it. I do it too, but I'm not trying to shove through the door. But I am trying to get closer to the right. But it is kind of to the point where, you know, they're having to, like, tell people to go the other way just to...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's getting bad, I should say. That's what I noticed.
It's going to happen like a lot of other things that happened for me. Someone else is going to ruin my experience, so...
Yeah. Another story, though, Fantasmic is closing for refurbishment May 1st and 2nd.
After they just refurbished it?
Yeah, that's what we thought was a lie.
Routine maintenance.
It makes me think that something had to have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's no way that there should be anything that needs to be refurbished after as long as it was down.
Is it the Moana scene where she, like, jumps into the, like, are they, like, need to secure up something where she won't fall through or something? I don't know. What's the part?
Did she disappear one night? What?
Wasn't there one incident, too, where, like, a firework did something or something? I forgot what happened.
Are they doing a better effect on Ariel so they don't have to put a bag over her head?
No. But didn't someone in the crowd get hit by something on one of the shows? I forgot. Anyway, something happened once.
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe they're just trying to save money on labor costs.
This is not one that I care a ton about, period, so.
All right, so anything news-wise that I missed? I'm sure I missed a ton.
There was one that I was going to mention a little bit here when they talked about, you know, Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that it's to feature dozens of brand new audio animatronics, so seemingly the electronic ones, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that makes me cringe a little bit, as far as the unknown is, and new original characters, I'm like, anytime they say something like that, I kind of cringe a little bit because they always, they're going to try to mess something up, truthfully. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling. Anytime I hear that, I'm like, yeah, great.
Well, we also, I forgot, got concept art for Mama Odie's scene.
Right.
Which
some people have pinpointed they think is going to have to do with the top of the, before the drop.
Yeah, it kind of looks like they're looking to the left and they're maybe going up. There's kind of a slant in the guests or in this picture, but...
Well, I saw on one of the concept arts, apparently, there was a model, I think, that was showing, like, the front of the mountain, and it had, like the model, like, in the opening had, like, these lights hanging at the top of it, too, or lights similar to this in the concept, so it kind of makes it seem that way. So I wouldn't be shocked if this is what we see now over, like you said, over to the left in the area where it used to be the shadow of... Brer Rabbit.
Right.
When he was on the stake.
That part.
He was tied to the stake. Yes. Right.
Don't tell me.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's room there for that, you know, obviously.
Yeah, there was literally nothing sitting there, just the shadows.
Yeah.
Right. So.
So that could be cool, yeah. Also, I forgot, Food and Wine Festival starts July 27th and runs through November 18th.
Is it Food and Wine time already? I didn't. It's October already. Okay.
Isn't that later, though? I feel like it was like July 5th last year, so I'm
surprised it's not Memorial Day
right
at this point.
I know. But just in time for Halloween season, July 27th.
Oh, here's a big one you've missed.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom turns 25 also on the 20th.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably not doing much for that celebration.
I thought it was like all the 22nd.
Isn't
Earth Day? Yeah, you're right. The 22nd. I'm sorry, not the 20th. 22nd. You're right.
Yeah. Nobody thinks about Animal Kingdom.
It's hard to believe it's been 25 years since Animal Kingdom was made.
Yeah. Speaking of Animal Kingdom, and basically the father of Animal Kingdom, Joe Rohde, isn't there... I remember that story about a Adventures by Disney trip to Alaska where he's going to be like... essentially one of the guides, I guess.
He's going to be on it. That's right? All I know.
I mean, he can't be, like, on a trip without, like, talking the whole time, so he's basically your guide.
Well, yeah. He would be your unofficial guide even if he was just on the trip.
Right. He's going to talk nonstop, so. I'm sure that one's sold out by now, but that would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, I mean, you know, anytime you get to bend his ear, hopefully, I mean... I'm the type of person, though, that I would kind of want to talk to him, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to bug him, so that sort of thing. But
I would also feel like I'm going to ask him stuff that he's not interested in answering, so he's going to be like, I need more intellectual questions than this.
I was like, so, about the Yeti.
Right.
Yeah. When's the Yeti coming back?
Right.
Is this Disney's way of kind of starting to lure him back a little bit?
Like, I kind of doubt it, but I don't know. How old is he at this point? I don't know.
107.
He's in his 60s, though, isn't he? Or he's approaching it.
Yeah, I think he's got to be, yeah. I think he's...
So, I don't know. Iger came back, I guess, at, 72 or whatever he is, so...
Yeah, he's 67.
67?
By the way. So, yeah.
One thing I'm surprised you haven't mentioned yet, Adam. Yeah. They've began dismantling the Harmonious Barge... Or barges.
Yes. That was another thing. Gosh, that was another thing that we haven't gotten to yet. Yeah. Harmonious is over. And
kind of sad in a way.
They're starting to destroy it.
Because I liked Harmonious.
Yeah. What, are they going to scrap these parts and try and make some of their money back that they invested in this thing?
They're dismantling it, so it makes me think they're going to reuse it in some way, any way they possibly can. I mean, Disney is known to reuse the stuff that they recycle the things that they do away with. Like the Wonders of Life sign being at Magic Kingdom now, or as we've speculated that Jane is now the redhead. I mean, we've spent a lot of different things. We speculated that Finn's animatronic is Ripley.
With Sigourney Weaver's.
We've done a lot of speculation. But I feel like they do stuff like that for real.
Yeah. It sure looks like it's the exact same.
They might could take some basics from it, but the hydraulic... audio animatronics are kind of slowly getting away from those, I guess.
Which makes sense. I mean,
they're a bit outdated.
They certainly don't look. They don't look very lifelike these days.
They're just a bit outdated. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, the stuff that Splash Mountain we were talking about replacing stuff of that. It was built. It opened in '92, right? So it's been 30 years,
right? Which makes sense why they would get rid of the old ones and replace them with new ones. Yeah. Probably more efficient, too. Cheaper to operate, I would think, too. Anyway, any other stuff? I'm sure I missed tons. I mean, we had so many things come out.
That's all I can think of that comes to my mind that I cared anything about.
There's always a lot.
But I mean, I said there's something I actually cared about.
More episodes of Mando.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana Jones trailer.
Oh, yeah, the new indie trailer. Oh,
have you been watching Mando? You guys? Okay, I have been too.
Are you guys caught up? I am caught up.
I am.
What do we think? That one episode was very weird. The one with Jack Black and Lizzo.
I actually enjoyed that one.
It was just weird to me.
I don't get what people were.
It was good.
I think that they're going in a direction that's going to just about kill the thing off, though, in some point here in the near future, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, they're in a precarious situation as of the recording of this the finale, right? Isn't this like the last episode this week?
This is the last episode coming up. Not to mention that there's also going to be three more Star Wars films.
Right.
Starring Daisy Ridley as Rey.
Yep. Well, isn't that just one movie, though?
Well, yeah, I guess they play one movie at a time, but...
Yeah, they're not going to announce another trilogy at this point. They're going to see...
No, they said they're coming with three more.
Well, I think... What was the other one, though? There was one that was like... There were different stories, though. They weren't... It wasn't a trilogy. It was... One was that, but then there was another one that was like something about an origin of the Jedi or something was one, or something like that, or old Jedi, I forgot.
Whenever,
and then there was something that tied into the Mandalorian somehow.
Whenever they came up with the new sequels, I was excited for seeing the new sequels. After the new sequels, I'm not excited for seeing anything that they do going forward. That's just me.
Well, Dave Filoni is directing one of them, right? Or is producing one of them?
I guess there's hope. I forgot.
So he's basically this.
Maybe we should call it A New Hope. A New Hope?
Yeah.
There's A New Hope.
He's the story keeper of them all. That reminds me. Did you see that video of the guy who said that all the Star Wars movies are named wrong or whatever? The titles are all wrong if you...
All wrong?
Anyway. I had to find that. It was actually really interesting.
No, I think they kind of like fit what happens. I mean, at first glance, I mean, I don't know.
Well, the way he described to find it, it was interesting. The way he described it was like, yeah, they were all, he reordered them and it was like, oh, that actually does make sense. Anyway, I'll find it. Yeah. So that'll wrap this news part up of this episode. Where can we be found, John, to... get more info for us.
Well, other than right here, of course. I mean, we can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise, including the Rafts Are Right shirt, because we mentioned the Rafts earlier. shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, which the latest videos that are still on there are the older videos of Splash Mountain, which have gotten pretty good reviews, or not reviews, but views on that. And where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. Email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you would like assistance booking your next trip, we have a travel agent friend on our website as well. travelingwiththemouse.com. For Jason and John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.